Change.
Changes. I can't find the mouse. Oh, it's just not working. Okay. Why is the mouse not working?
Yay. What was the thing you said last time that was funny? Can't remember.
I don't think I've ever said anything funny.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 57th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast. In this episode, we have news, reviews, and more. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. And now on to the episode. Welcome to Dead Zone the Podcast, episode 57, our three-year anniversary, it seems.
Yes, this is the third-year anniversary of this podcast. It seems like it's only been six.
It seems longer. My name's Rob.
And I'm Jack.
And we have some news to talk about.
News.
We begin with our first segment, the news.
And the first news, well, you can just go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures we're talking about. And the first bit of news is about a week old, but the free rules, the FAQ, and the errata have been released by Mantic. And it's at Mantic Dames? Mantic.
That broad's pretty Mantic. She's a Mantic dame. Look at the gams on her.
ManticGames.com/free-rules.html. You can go there, and it's, you get the free rules, Dead Zone, try it out, and the FAQ and errata, obviously. And also coming this week to retail is the Industrial Battle Zones for that came from the last Kickstarter, and they have some great pictures of them in action.
Yes, they have like diorama setups and lots of pipes, lots of gangways. It's gonna make a nice addition. I'm looking forward. We still haven't even busted ours out yet.
No.
But we're gonna need it. I think we should make that a priority.
Yeah, you think so?
I think so. We've got some thoughts. We've got some ideas.
I would have brought it.
So
the different versions, there's another nice shot. I like the doors. The new doors, they're like corrugated metal ones.
They look industrial, like a warehouse-y.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Notice this, it's one of those railings sideways on the side of the wall.
They have like the fins all over that building. That building just has like random railing.
I just noticed that. And there's no new boxes and stuff, looks like. We need more boxes. And they have different versions. The first one's called the Industrial Quadrant. And you get a huge set of terrain. Like the picture they have here is four different buildings, bombed out buildings because there's some destroyed bits, and contains 24 industrial terrain packs, 4 ruined sprues, 8 industrial accessory packs, 4 urban accessory sprues, 5 connector packs, which I'm sure is not enough. And the price is 99 euros pounds, 99 pounds or $174.99 US. It's pretty expensive, but you get a whole board. Like, that'll be more than a Dead Zone board. That's almost a...
Yeah, if you play Dead Zone and you want to get going, there you go. You're done. You can do that.
And they have other versions, though. The next one's called the Industrial Sector. It's pretty much one big building. And it comes with... it's pretty much half the size of the other ones. 12 industrial terrain packs, 4 industrial accessory sprues, 2 urban accessory sprues, 2 connector packs. And this one's 50 pounds or $80. US. Once again, gets you a lot. And they have another smaller one, which is pretty much a single building here.
It looks like just the bare basics. I shouldn't say the bare basics. It's got the little special accoutrement, but it if you just wanted to add a little bit to your board.
Yeah, and it's pretty much half the size of the last one. And that one's $40 American or 25 pounds, although the pound now, who knows. But they also have, they're just selling the pipe sets, which is kind of cool if you just need extra pipes. And it looks like a plumbing accessory because it's just a line of pipes. And that's just 2 industrial pipe accessory packs for $18 or 10 pounds. And that one's just a bunch of pipes if you want to add more pipes to your board. Which adding pipes is kind of a neat way to block up terrain and block up areas instead of having barrels and things.
And in my mind, if you have already a bunch of terrain and you're like, okay, I want to make everything kind of, I need a visual flow through. All the buildings can't be all the same, but if you want to have, oh, I got this old building and what it needs to kind of blend in with this, add some pipes. Now visually it draws everything together, you know, pulls the room together.
Yep, for sure.
Grab some pipes.
And there's also some Warpath news. And there's new versions of both Warpath and Firefight. The links will be on the show notes here. They're out at Mantic on their site there. That they have a Dropbox set up for both of them. So if you want to try out the new versions of both of those, they're there. We haven't heard much about Firefight. Nobody really talks about it. But Warpath, it seems to need a lot of work, and it's been worked on right now. So if you want to get in on that and have your say, start playing. Because otherwise you're going to get what other people think is right, and maybe not what you want. They also gave the news that they're going to be splitting the shipping of Warpath into two different waves. Wave 1 will be September, which is nice. We thought that might be later. And Wave 2 won't be until quarter 1, 2017, which we know doesn't mean January, right, Jack?
Yeah, probably April, the best we can hope for.
Because that's the end of quarter 1, I believe. And so it's because some of the miniatures aren't... They switched them from resin to plastic.
So they have to retool, and it's the vehicles mostly. They're going from the resin to the plastic, so they have to do some time, get that redone. And so that now you have the time to, between the shipping and when the ordering is, to purchase more if you so desire.
Yep, because they reopened the Pledge Manager just until July 3rd, and it's not a full list. It's only the vehicles, as we were saying. Not even all the vehicles, I don't think. But the things that are being pushed back to Wave 2 are the GCPS Troopers, which sucks because we like those. The Mule, the Plague Mule, the Hornet, the Veerman Tunneler, the Asterion Chira / Chroma, and the Forge Father Halter, which is the three-wheeler. And they're all being pushed back. But they're also offering new plastic unit bases or movement trays for Warpath for your guys. And they're going to be either 5-slot ones, which are going to be 10 for $12, or 2-slot ones, also 10 for $12. The 2 slots are going to be for the 40mm bases. So hopefully you based everything correctly, because otherwise it won't fit in here. But
yeah, if you decide to go a little wild and crazy and then want to purchase these movement trays, you're SOL.
Yeah, you have to do your own. So that's about it. And we'll take a short break. We'll have a Mantic ad, and we'll be right back to discuss the Dead Zone proper. Because that's what we care about. And we'll be back in a second.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast with your hosts, Jack Fike and Rob Harper. The Dead Zone Podcast is dedicated to Dead Zone, the tabletop miniature game by Mantic Games. Visit them at manticgames.com.
Hey, this is Community Pat, and you are listening to Rob and Jack on Dead Zone, the podcast.
And welcome back to the Dead Zone podcast. I hope you enjoyed that ad. I know we did very, very much. In fact, we might just play it again just because we loved it that much.
So the next thing we're going to be talking about is the errata and the FAQ for Dead Zone that just came out. And we're not going to hit every little thing. A lot of other people, like Coach on Family Gamer 777, went through each point. We're just going to hit the things that we find interesting and talk about stuff. And the first thing that is interesting is that it's something they forgot totally to put in the book is how many points, VP points, you need to win a certain games at certain points. And 100 points equals 12 VPs, 150 is 16. And here's the weird part is 200, 250, and 300 is 20 VPs. Does that make any sense to you, Jack?
No, it does not. Not at all. And I'm not even going to discuss it.
Common sense says that 4 VPs per 50 points, but not according to the rules committee. It seems like they like over 200.
Yeah, because so if you give an easy formula like that, then someone could go, I want to play a 500-point game because I have those models. Oh, that sounds fun. Everything is fun when you have the information to go by like that. Oh, wait, no. You can't just have a simple formula that tells you, and then you can extrapolate and have fun with your friends. It has to be something asinine like that, where it's just arbitrarily the difference between 100 and 300 points is going to be 8 VP. Like, come on, people.
Yeah, 200 and 300 points should not be the same VPs, but whatever. Do what you like, because it's your game.
Yep.
You don't have to listen to them. The other thing that they changed, which will make Coach happy, is not totally happy, but somewhat, is that the one Husker only needs two successes to make his splat work instead of three like it used to be. Makes it happen at least once in a while, which is good. They also changed that a lot of the things like the stage three dogs, this swarm, the dog drones, night terrors, they're all beasts now. They weren't beasts before.
Which means they just can't pick up crates. They can't.
They can't hold objectives. Or can they hold objectives? They still hold objectives.
They can't use objects. They're just nonsense.
And we've always said that beasts should be able to pick up things but not use them. Because a dog, even a non-plague dog or non-robotic dog, can still pick up a newspaper and bring it back to its master. Or its shoes or a beer from the fridge.
In a perfect world.
These are trained animals. Anyway, and also the dog drone, the boombot, inferno drill are now constructs, obviously. It's just something they missed. That makes sense. The Strider loses scout and is now a vehicle.
Very common sense.
Yeah, that's... A Strider shouldn't have scout. I think it was just something that they copied and pasted somewhere else and it just got made it in.
And if it did have scout, sure, maybe that's just a ish, because it was just for the Enforcers Strider. So maybe, okay. But it is a vehicle. It should be a vehicle. It should follow vehicle rules. So, yeah.
Also, jet bikes have weapon options now, which is awesome, since they do have the models do have different weapons, so you can kit out your jet bike how you like. That's kind of cool. Like, it doesn't change that much. The weapons aren't that different, but it's nice to have a variety. They changed to Malignus. It used to be a Malignus with a chem thrower, but now they just made it Malignus and made it more generic and lessened the points and everything, fixed everything. Because everything else is generic, why was that one specifically the Malignus with a chem thrower?
They had never picked up a club. They had never decided they were going to use a knife. Every Malignus on the planet from the dawn of time has always had a chem thrower.
Yeah.
No, that's another like obvious one that, you know, got overlooked.
And they also changed a lot of weapon options, clarifications on specific troops, like things getting weight of fire and stuff. It just, you look through the errata, you'll see all that stuff.
And the purpose of an errata is it goes instance by instance, page by page, and it just tells you what text should go in it. So some of it is like a duh, that information's elsewhere in the book, but that's not what an errata is. It tells you on that page it should say.
Yeah.
Very dry stuff. I think we covered the most of it.
Forward Observer also gets an energy gauntlet, and that makes sense. It just got left off its list because it shows him having one. It's nice to see some hand-to-hand now. And now on to the FAQ. The FAQ is a frequently asked question, supposedly. So we'll go through these.
Who's asking a lot of these questions?
It's the questions I have, too. My frequently asked question is, who's asking these questions? You can use the shoot command dice with heavy weapons. Makes sense. It's a shoot, so it's great. It's just a clarification. That's fine.
Yep.
When pin models are thrown into any square, they attack, but they get a plus one... mod. The enemy gets a plus one mod for fighting a pinned enemy. So you're still pinned even as you start the fight, and you have to get up in the fight so they get the plus. That's fine. That makes sense, too. Blasts count. If you get more successes are rolled than the enemy, it doesn't matter about damage. It's more successes. So that's interesting that they changed blasts for blast-only weapons, like the... who is it? For the Rebs. Sorak has
Sorak's have the blaster. But and it does make sense, because you could say, I was never hit, sort of like knockback, where I was never hit, so I shouldn't get, you know, the effect. But no, if your dice beat the other person's dice,
you got hit. The armor might have saved you. You still got hit. Like you say, knockback's the same way now. They cleared that up. Yeah. You have to be hit for it to affect you.
But it doesn't matter
if it does damage.
Yeah,
it
just your armor took the blast, but it doesn't mean that you were damaged or not damaged. You still are affected by it. So again, makes sense, but it needed a clarification.
Frag weapons now automatically hit, which they're not like grenades. Unless it's not a grenade. Grenade frags still have to be rolled like grenades. But other frag weapons, like the fusion gun for the Enforcers, things like that, automatically hit squares. I think that's way too powerful. But
I agree. It falls into... I have a thing about, I can see the tiniest corner of that square, so I can...
destroy that square,
a whole square. Or I can see the corner of a square, so I can lob a grenade into the center of the square. Like it, to me, I know it's supposed to be an abstract spatial thing, but... this just seems wrong, and we haven't played with the frag as it stated here now yet, but we've discussed it, and we're not.
Well, that's what we did play originally. That's in the beta that's how it was, that it automatically hit. We never liked it then.
We didn't like it then, but it is still. So we're still working on that. But as far as...
I've always said that indirect weapons should act like grenades so they can scatter. And other weapons should just be like a shoot action. Other frag weapons. You have to shoot to hit the square. But, you know, I understand big blasts
are fun.
But it's super powerful. Don't group your guys up. No longer you have guys in squads, that's for sure.
It does have the big explosion fun.
But no more scattering though. That was the funnest part.
Well, I like the chaos. You like the chaos. Some people don't like that extra dice roll, and they don't like the.
Yeah.
I would love to see grenades going off course, hitting generals.
Well, grenades still can. It's just fright weapons game.
But say like the vortex cannon or the enforcer whatever.
And the your plague one, the mortar.
Mortar, yeah. Because I think that's fun, but...
Yeah. And psychic weapons. Psychics do get +1 for height bonus. Okay, that's fine. Yep. Vehicles can be pinned now, for some reason, which makes no sense. That's the whole point of a vehicle, is that you feel safe inside of it. But if it comes down to, we discussed it before, that vehicles should be light vehicles, medium vehicles, heavy vehicles. And light vehicles like a monowheel or a jet bike.
Where you're exposed. You're literally on top of
something. Open, yeah.
Yeah, you're exposed. You would be pinned. You would need to take an evasive action. You would need to duck. You would need to... But if it says all vehicles and now a Strider which is much bigger, you're encased. You're in an armored
Strider hull. All of a sudden like ducks down and tries to hide when somebody just shoots some weapon at it that can't damage
it. Some small arms that can't damage it. You just shoot at it. That will be the most aggravating thing ever when someone, when you have your
suppresses
your Reb Trooper, the little Obi-Wan Kenobi there, and he just goes, I'm going to suppress that Strider.
Yeah.
I'm going to suppress that Strider. And the chainsaw is just like, covering its Strider cowardly face. Oh, no. And the flamers begging for mercy. No, please.
So we're saying that Striders should be medium vehicles, and then you get like tanks and stuff should be heavy vehicles. And a medium or heavy vehicle should not be pinned. Play it that way, people. And all infestation in the infestation book characters count as mercs, but only work for their faction. I don't know why they still insist on calling them mercs.
Because they haven't made the fixes that should have been done years ago. So they're just kind of saying, hold on, just do this for now until we get around to mercs.
Remember, they're heroes, not mercs or characters. The Piper doesn't have a tactician stat, which is interesting, because he's not a great leader, even though he's a leader, so he doesn't get any extra command dice, which I think is funny.
I think that's a little bit of fluff, that's a little bit of character that I don't mind.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Because at some point there could be a very charismatic leader that they come out with when they're doing their monthly releases of, you know, things that you can purchase, and you buy a model that works for the Rebs, and he's just like a big smile and a... You know,
gets tactician 3 or something.
Go-to attitude, and he could, that lends to the story and the feel of the game. I don't mind that.
There's a leader weapon category, which is interesting, and it makes room for future hero weapons for like really special items and stuff. That's kind of neat. So if you have the leader weapon category, there might be the sword of power that only leaders can wield. You know.
Yeah, yes, something different. It's leaving a little wiggle room so that when someone comes up with an idea, then it's already covered. It might not be often used, but it's there when you want to do a scenario where the general that's defending has a...
Yeah.
They've mounted a desolator cannon, two desolator cannons onto something, and they're just laying waste. Well, why can't I do that? Because it's a leader weapon.
Yeah. Toxic smokescreen. If you hit an already wounded model, it doesn't automatically kill it, even though it makes them vulnerable. They still need to take a wound, because it doesn't say that it gives the person one wound, so if they already have one, it says it makes the next wound kill them. That's what it kind of says. That would just be way too powerful. So let's just move on to the last thing, and that would be the deployment zone strike team limits. This is a bit of contention amongst us, because the rules committee seems to think this isn't an issue, even though it comes up every game I play with Jack and his plague. They think that only at like 300-point games would you not have too many models to fit into the deployment zone. Sorry to break it to you, but it happens at 150 points. It happens at 100 points with Jack's armies. Later on, we'll discuss a certain bat rep where there was 25 plague dogs I was fighting. So luckily that we weren't using regular deployment zones, otherwise we would have had an issue. But they offered a solution, but Jack, what do you think about these solutions?
Both one solution was more asinine than the other. I was sorely disappointed in the way they fluffed off the fact that almost never do you have too many. Your strike team is never big enough to fill the deployment zone. But in the off chance, you know, a Bigfoot happens to meet a Yeti and they mate and make a Yeti.
A foot Yeti.
then yes, what you're going to do is you're going to after your opponent's deployed, move the terrain to your advantage and then place your guys thusly so that you would have levels.
Multiple levels, yeah.
So you would take a large army and then put your snipers on top, and which then made it outrageously advantageous to make a big army. And also, it's just poor. No.
Terrible solution.
They deployed with this in mind. Okay, this is where things are. Now you've opened up possibly this big open kill zone, given yourself the high ground.
You should never have to move terrain after deployment starts.
That's an asinine suggestion. But the next suggestion is, then you have to then use your movements to get onto the board through your deployment zone in order to...
And it costs an action.
Yes, in order to get on, and you have to do it within two rounds or else anyone who doesn't get on the board is dead.
And so, your opponent gets their VPs.
So if you don't, if you cannot or will not run your guys pell-mell through open areas hole. And open up and allow the rest of your guys to get on in two turns and them using their movement.
Imagine if you're at your... opponent just suppressed that square so you couldn't move guys into it.
Well, of course they would. Yeah. And they would make faces at you. they would tug at their genitals and mock Thusly? You. And yes, I did actually. I just did. They would laugh themselves till they shit, knowing that they would laugh themselves till they shit, knowing that they were causing you this grief and it was completely unnecessary. So please, both of those, do not ever, ever, ever broach either of those as the reasonable response. And one cripples you for taking too many guys. Not too many. Not even too many. Making a strike team in any way that isn't what they think anyone would make. The bubble that they live in. Oh, I like this kind. If you make any other kind of strike team, it's your fault.
Yeah, and the problem is that these solutions are both really complex when there's such a simple solution that Coach came up with it within 2 seconds when we were discussing it with him. Just give each team another square. Make it fair that each of them gets the opposite square to move into, and if you need another square, they both get another square.
You say, okay.
Just increase the size of the deployment zones.
You do simple math. You get your fingers out. Maybe take your socks off. Use your toes. You go, oh my God, I got this many. I'm going to need two extra additional deployment squares. So your opponent, while he's setting up, while he's deploying, you go, excuse me, use two more squares because I'm going to need two more squares. Oh, why, thank you, sir. Boom. He deploys with the terrain the way it's supposed to be, understanding the way everything's going to play. And then you then go, why, that's a great deployment. Kudos. You tip your hat thusly. You use two more squares and you play the game.
Yeah.
You play the goddamn game.
It's a simple solution, so play it that way. Don't do these things that they tell you to do. Rebel. And on that note, let's take a break, and we'll be back to talk about something else that I'm sure is very interesting, so come on back.
And hopefully not nearly as negative. This
negative Nellies.
I was a bit of a Betty Boat anchor there.
It's time to enter the Strike Zone.
The Strike Zone podcast is the ultimate guide to the miniature sports game, Dreadball. From the ringside seats of an underground Dreadball Extreme match to the glitz and glamour of Dreadball Classic, the Strike Zone strives to bring you the latest and greatest Dreadball has to offer. I am your host, Adam, a.k.a. Mr. Voxman, and you can find out more at warmoreradio.com.
Hey, this is Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast, and you've been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast.
With Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast.
So much Dead Zone Podcast, it'll make you vomit.
It is shout outs time.
And welcome back to Dead Zone, the podcast. And we're going to have some shout outs. Shoutouts, as Wintergreen, I'm sure, already told you. And our shoutout is to our good friend, Douglas Thoyne, again. He's at Douglas Thoyne on Twitter. And this is not so much the model, which is a cool-looking survivor, but it's the base he did. He took bottle caps, or bottle lids, I guess, and turned into his, like, a post-apocalyptic kind of base. It's kind of a neat idea.
You just dry brush those edges. It gives you a nice defined, you know, it stands out. And the top, he's got like a sewer grate on there with a little bit of water. It's a nice, cheap idea, especially if you want some weight, you can cram some stuff, a magnet under there. If you want to magnetize your guys, put them in a
It's a cool idea for a base. And a cool-looking model.
But is it the proper base size for playing the game, Rob? That is vitally important.
Let's not get into this, shall we?
Now for a segment we call Our Stuff.
So, Our Stuff. We did a lot of Our Stuff last time. But, Jack, have you done anything since then? I think you have.
Not a goddamn thing.
Yes, you have.
What?
You've done a Strider.
I painted I built and painted a Strider that cannot work under the rule set as of as they are. But
he looks cool.
We already had one. I already had one Strider. We're having a bunch come with the Warpath. So I put the gun in one hand, the Genling in one hand, like at a jaunty angle, and you'll see the picture. And then I put the chainsaw on the other because I think much like Ash. You need a boomstick and you need a chainsaw. And obviously, after that, yeah, that's obvs. So, yeah, I might not be able to use it in a tournament play. But clearly, if I say, hey, he's got the Genley.
It's not WYSIWYG.
Yeah. And then I did a Veerman squad, which I think it's Stalkers and Nightcrawlers. I can't remember which is which.
I never figure out
which. The Nightcrawlers are the ones with the ray guns and the Stalkers are the ones with the knives. I forget. Either way, you'll see the picture. For a special Pat play test scenario thing we did, I had to do a speeder bike. So I painted a speeder bike.
A speeder bike. Jet bike.
Yeah.
This isn't Star Wars.
I actually rigged up the handles to look like the speeder bike on from Star Wars.
He even has Luke riding it.
He does, and it's Yoda's on his back. It's amazing.
And Carrie Fisher's on both their backs.
Yeah, and she's on cocaine.
Obs.
Yeah, so there's some Veerman, a speeder bike, the Strider, and then I modded up the Aberration.
Yes.
I used the hot water treatment. I think Tyler from the Dead Zone podcast. No, we're the Dead Zone podcast.
Tyler!
Tyler, what are you doing in here? You little rascal. Get out of here, you scamp. No, Tyler from the
Dreadpath Zone.
Dreadpath Zone. He was doing the exact same thing. Stood the legs up, bent the arms around.
Turned him into a Hulk, really. He looks like the Hulk.
It's polyester instead of the resin or the Restic,
yes.
But it still works. The hot water treatment. The legs are thin enough that you can really get him to stand up.
Other than his spiky thorns that poke into you at odd angles.
Like Tyler was saying, that the right where you're trying to bend the arm, all those spikes were digging into his skin. But I got, he looks vastly different in position than the stock, which is what I wanted.
He looks cool.
Yeah, painted him up. I went a little garish.
He's very, toxic green.
Yeah, I went with a more toxic green. Now that the Mantic's moved away from what the plague was before, a disease of type, and I went with that green, the dark green, sick, like mucusy. Now they're kind of zombie, like the biohazardy. So now my paint jobs have started to reflect that. I don't know why, but yeah. And I tore his face has no flesh on it. That was just me just being a jackass. I was just loving the paint.
Yep, he looks like he took a grenade and chops.
So yeah, that's what I did.
And what I did was things. I did Forge Fathers. That's what I did. I did my rest of my Forge Fathers, the Steel Warriors, I guess they are. And I did my Forge Father Giant, who's a giant from Dreadball, and I turned him into a Forge Father Fighter. And I made him my metallic colors because I like him. And there, see, that guy is that's the missile launcher. Remember you asking me about the other missile launcher?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, we were earlier on, I was discussing in the Festation book, I was like, I wish they would have captions saying what are in the pictures, because learning reading the fluff and then trying to see, oh, this is the Nightcrawler. Oh, what's this? I would like a little caption. And I said, because Rob, I would like to know what that is. He goes, not in this game anymore. That's called a militia. Oh, okay. You can't get those models. Okay. And then there was some other stuff, but yeah.
So, yep, I did a bunch of Forge Fathers, and the problem, the only problem with these Forge Father kits was that they didn't have left-handed weapons, and some of the, you can build them with two guns. You can build in the Dead Zone, you can build the model with two guns. So I had to kit bash some left-handed weapons, and the first one, he's the gangsta, his gun sideways.
ODG?
OFFG, Original Forge Father Gangsta.
Oh, I went with original dwarf gangster. Damn it.
They're not dwarves. They're
yeah, forge no, fathers. I was wrong. I apologize.
And the second one, I think it's a Enforcer fusion gun. And it's just things I found in my bitbox, but it worked out. And then I had the cool guy with binoculars. Pop is, I like the little mono binoculars thing.
Yeah, it's not a binocular if it's mono, but I think, I think it's just, you got to be one of the spotters for one of the artillery pieces.
And yeah, and then I got one guy's jumping off of a base. All the bases are secret weapon bases, which we love, secret weapons.
Yeah, I've yet to have a secret weapon product that I didn't think was good. I will say the washes are fantastic. The bases that we've gotten, yep. I've yet to be disappointed.
Yeah, great stuff. And that's about it. That's my Forge Fathers, and I like them. So we'll be right back. We just have a quick message, and we'll be back with a review, which might not go so well, and a battle report that went terribly for me. So, it's going to be fun times for me coming up.
Come on back.
It is time for a brief message from our friends at Iron Watch Magazine.
Do you like Mantic Games? Do you want to read about your favorite games in a monthly magazine? Have we got the offer for you? Iron Watch Magazine. Iron Watch brings you the latest news, articles, and short stories taking place in the Mantic universe. Dreadball, Kings of War, Dead Zone, Warpath. You want it? They got it. Ironwatch.wordpress.com. Get it now for the low, low price of free. You can't beat that at twice the price. That's Ironwatch.wordpress.com.
Download now.
And now, back to your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Pike. And now, a review from your hosts at the Dead Zone Podcast.
And we're back. And we do have a bit of a review for a Kickstarter I pledged, 3 years ago, that finally came in.
Oh, that sounds good.
That was totally... It's incomplete. It's the Games and Gears Battle Boards. We're supposed to get the Dead Zone hexes, the squares for it. And, yeah, just still haven't shown up. Don't have clips. It's just the boards. The boards are nice looking. Pre-painted, hard plastic, a lot cheaper than the Secret Weapon ones. And these are the anime boards. They'll never be for sale because it's not even Games of Gear's fault. They sent it to China to be made. The Chinese company, they flooded and they had trouble and obviously didn't have the money to fulfill. So they got what they could done. And I'm glad to at least get boards. I got 6 2x2 boards, so it's a huge space we can cover. We're going to have to spray paint on some squares on it, though, now.
We'll do something. We'll get something. Because that was not the big draw for this Kickstarter for you to join. What was the...
There are clear sheets. Some were sticky, some were not, that you could put over anything that would put the 3x3 grids on things.
So if you buy a fantastic, say, Matt's by Mars mat, and you go, oh, I could have gotten grid, but I didn't.
Or I got the fat mat from... Well, it's fat mats, and it's just a big green mat, but I could have put these grids on it.
You just lay them down, play some Dead Zone on any mat that you happen to have. Fantastic.
But unfortunately, it doesn't look like we'll be getting those. It's from all accounts that Kickstarter is just giving up, and the Chinese company probably just is never going to answer again. And I know a lot of people like Games and Gears, but they hooked up with the wrong people here. And I doubt it'll have hurt their reputation, because it seems like you can fail at a Kickstarter and still not matter to anybody. But, hey, if you see these on the market, don't buy them. You're just supporting thieves. But they're nice. They're pre-painted, pretty basically. We'll have to wash them or something, get some more detail out of them. And, like I said, we'll spray paint on the grids. And we'll show you once we're done. You can see the pictures as they are now, just plain. And, yeah, we'll see how it goes. And that was just a little service announcement for a review.
Yeah, it was,
little...
it was less of a review and more of a venting.
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating.
It's disappointing because you've been waiting for those clear tiles for... Well, you bought a Fat Mat, and that was
before that, yeah.
2 years ago. And went, this and
this. This was before Fat Mats, yeah.
This and this, this. I'm going to combine these two things to make a giant Dead Zone board where we're going to be able to play... You know, at the time, we didn't have these new rules with these points armies, but, like, we were thinking, like, 200-point armies.
Yeah, we didn't know. That was, like, it actually was, I think, even before I got Dead Zone, I pledged for this. I was like, okay, this is going to be part of it. It's going to come out the almost exact same time as Dead Zone. It's all going to come out together. I'll have nice boards. We'll have...
Such lofty dreams. Such just
crashed. Like Icarus.
Just underneath a heel, a bug just smushed.
So, yeah, it's a little leaves a little bad taste in my mouth, but still, we got these boards. And we'll fancy them up.
And a tear-stained pillow.
So anyways, let's just move on to our battle report. Forget we even mentioned any of this.
Let's get on to the fun times. Let's get on to the good.
Yeah.
We've already done the bad and the ugly. Let's do the good.
Yeah.
We now present to you a Dead Zone battle report.
I've still not won a match of Dead Zone 2.0. But this one was fun, at least. I did have I did win from Beast of War the hanger from Foreground, just brand new kit. Really expensive. Would never have bought it in my life because it's like $200 for that thing.
And this guy's purse is just wide open. It's just shekels are pouring out hither and yon, but it's still more expensive than he would.
So it's a nice big hanger, and permanent markered on the 3x3 grids on it. Just so we could play, and we played on it. And
yes,
it was my Forge Fathers, and with a Iron Ancestor in the mech hangar as 25 Plague Dogs.
He was the defender inside the hangar, and the option the thing was we had hidden in the crates inside was the data that you had to spend two turns or three turns, whatever it was we decided.
Well, we said you just had to find it and then get it over.
Oh, that's what it was. We opted to get it off the board. And then I was on the outside with my plague.
He could enter from any edge.
And the doors, beasts had to tear down the door, so it took a long action. People could just open the doors as a person with an opposable thumb is wont to do. And yeah, then hilarity ensued.
Yeah, so
you'll see the pictures. Go on to the website and take a look at podbean.com.
Deadzonegame.podbean.com.
And you'll be able to see exactly what shenanigans ensued.
And it was my Forge Fathers. I had a Huskarl, the Forge Guard Huskarl, the tough guy, and two Forge Guard, three Militia, because they're cheap, and one Iron Ancestor, which was the my version, the Dreadball version. And they were defending against what, Jack?
My general was the Type 3A general. With him as his cohort in shenanigans was Wrath.
The Merc.
And pulling a nice, respectable 25 in number was Plaguehounds.
This is a 200-point fight, and obviously you'll never have over 14 models in a deployment zone ever.
No, I basically crushed that number, and I was being asinine. I didn't need to make. I made the army beforehand.
You like that word?
Yeah, I made the army beforehand. He had brought out his dwarves, and I was like, okay, you know, I've got, you know, six models. And I'm like, you know what? I wonder how many models I can actually get out. Just
so I had seven models. Thank you.
The long and short of it is, terror ensued. It was a B-movie-esque,
yeah,
onslaught of just green hide surging into every orifice of that hangar.
Yeah, there's a few entrances. First round, second round maybe, he got some dogs at one door, but I jumped a Forge Guard who just stood there and took it and
just
was holding the door, and yeah, he couldn't bring more people in because we were blocking that area.
It was on a railing that was a half a square, so I could only get two guys in at a time, so he was basically just a door.
And then my Huskarl jumped down and blocked another door with all these dogs coming in, and every time dogs attacked they wouldn't hurt him, but he'd always give them one wound, so every round it was like hurt kill, and he killed like five or six dogs down there.
Yeah, over the course of the game,
yeah,
there was a few dog casualties at first.
And then, then he broke in for more areas. The Iron Ancestor got swarmed by a bunch of dogs. And eventually, all those dogs jumping him finally killed him. That was an amazing thing.
It was...
For like four rounds of dogs just constantly rolling six dice. And
they would charge in. They would have friends in the area. And those extra dice, I needed to roll very well even after that. Yeah, and
I did take a picture of one of his rolls with all the eights he rolled.
Yeah, but it was fun. Like it sounds lopsided the way we just described it, but at first it looked daunting. It looked like the plague was going to swarm and destroy for sure.
Then my forge guard was able to kill his general.
Yeah,
so I thought the tide had turned, but then that same turn, his dogs killed my Iron Ancestor, so the tide turned back. It was good. I killed, I think, 13 dogs, his general, and then he killed everybody else.
His general was last, and he almost conceded, but then he was like, no, because I'm holding my own. His armor was keeping him alive.
No, it was a forge guard last. My general fell, and then my forge guard was by himself.
That's right.
And I was like, we'll see. Let's see how many dogs I can kill. One dog came up, he killed him. Next dog came up and killed him. That was it.
Yeah, it was the last stand was not as glorious as
And Wrath was stuck on the outside, so by the time he got in, he got one shot off, and he burned a square, but that was about it. Nothing actually happened. Yeah, he used
his pistol to light a square up. But knowing I had to open up cases and knowing that my dogs were beasts, I had to keep him back. He was the only person that could fulfill the mission at all. So, that was...
It was fun.
You take a gander at the pictures. We didn't discuss this in chronological order, and we're not going to do a...
Well, we pretty much did, because that's how it happened.
Yeah, we don't do full-on bat reps at the moment right now, especially as the cap to a news-filled Dead Zone, the podcast. But, it's fun. Take a gander.
And, play indoors. Dead Zone really works when you're playing indoors. It's really fun. Like, we did it before with the battle systems, the cardboard train. If you can get any kind of, like, old Space Hulk, you can drag it out, play that. Indoor Dead Zone with lots of different rooms that you can hide people in and pop them out and make up a scenario. Either you have to get to a certain spot, you have to find intel, you have to bring something out. Make up your own things. And play indoors, because it's I think it's even more fun playing indoors in that contained space.
It changes things. The game is fun stock. It's great with the Dead Zone, like the Battle Zone terrain. But if you just want something different, it's just as fun, if not more fun, to make that cramped alien spaceship feel. Where now you've got corridors that aren't built between buildings, but corridors.
Yeah,
It's good, and we wanted to mix it up a little bit. So that's
fun good. Times. Yep, and it was good times. Nothing really went bad. No. And
we did realize we missed Overwatch for the first time.
Yeah, my dwarves really wanted Overwatch as he was breaking down doors. They wanted to just blast him as he walked through the doors.
If he could have just set up
kill zones.
Yeah, kill zones that he would like. Okay, he's aiming. And that's basically it.
We were actually thinking about all the different rules we'd like to add and make our own like compendium of rules. So if you have any ideas of stuff that you find is missing from the game that you might want to add as a optional rule, say, we want to do our own Unearthed Arcana. So we've talked about it before, but I think we're getting in now that 2 is out and we got to play it and things we want to change or things we want to add, we're going to go for it.
Get the house rules written out in a reasonable.
So that's about it for this episode, I think. You can always go to cafepress.com/deadzonethepodcast to buy stuff, buy a shirt, because they're cool.
Yep, people do. People do.
People do. And if you see anybody wearing the shirt, say, hi, I too enjoy Dead Zone the Podcast.
You could have a friend for life.
Yes. Or a stalker. And secondly...
A stalker for life.
Go to falleninfantry.wordpress.com. I've been posting a lot because I've been getting a lot of Kickstarters in, so there's tons of new content on there. And it's a lot of cool stuff. Mercs. We've done a lot of Merc stuff. And also Zombicide Black Plague and the Dungeon Crate boxes. We've been doing the unboxings for each of those monthly ones. So please go check that out. And until next time, I am Rob.
And I'm Jack.
And we'll be back with another Dead Zone the Podcast. See you on the other side.
And we'll be just as negative, if not more so.
Bah humbug. Yar.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions. You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. And now, a word from the fine folks at Vinland Old Time Radio.
Vinland Old Time Radio.
Ah, it is to that.
Bastro!
Oi there, dirigible. Help a fellow Empire citizen out, would you?
It's a gavel. A haunted gavel.
Have you read The King in Yellow?
Hello, William.
I made the koala burgers.
So what's new?
Are you insane?
That better be a rhetorical question. And yes.
For far too long.
I once knew a Spaniard in Tarragona who spoke in gibberish like you.
Up, up, and escape!
That was terrible.
I should be a god, and instead I'm stuck down here like a worm.
She would tell me such wonderful stories.
Dr. Deja Vu will return.
Africa's a continent?
It's with great protest.
Sorry, Judge Pudding.
Ooh, now that's some fine programming.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com.